passage of Scripture. This is the Scripture where you find the two men on the road to Emmaus. The two disciples walking along that road to Emmaus. Both of them downhearted. Both of them in a state of, they didn't know what had happened because the Savior had been nailed to the cross and had been put into the tomb. And these two disciples, the Bible tells us, were walking so disheartened. But then the Lord appears unto them. And as they walk along, they don't realize it is the Lord. And then the Bible tells us in verse 30, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them." Verse 31 says, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." You know, I don't have any scripture to prove this, but could I suggest to you that these men's eyes were opened because the Bible says in verse 30, "And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them and took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened." Could it have been that the Lord had to put his sleeves up, and as he was breaking the bread, the two disciples would have seen the nail prints? I just put that as a suggestion to you. But you know, we want to break in to the verse 36. These two disciples have gone and told the rest of the disciples that the Lord has arose. And in verse 36, we see the Lord coming to them. And the Scriptures reads, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And just one other verse over in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and the verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and the verse 8, and it reads, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." This morning I want us to look at that little phrase, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." I know the Lord will bless this reading from his own infallible word. I'm going to ask our brother, Mr. You know, my son said to me this morning as I was going out, "That's an awful sheet of paper that you have with you. You must be going to keep these people really long this morning." But I can assure you, I'm not a long-winded preacher. I have to write big now because I have to wear these things here. And that's why I have this. It reminds me of the story that the Reverend Fred Greenfield told me of this preacher who was coming to a Bible study. And he started at about 8:15 to speak on the minor prophets. And about 9:45, he got to Micah. And he said to the folks, he says, "You know, I don't know how I'm going to fit Micah in." And this lady at the front got up and says, "Well, sir, he can have my seat because I'm going home." So I don't want this happening this morning. And the word get back to Dr. Paisley and I get sacked. But you know, it is a blessing and a privilege to be here. You know, I just want us to, very quickly this morning, to look at that little phrase in Acts chapter 1 and the verse 8. And it says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea." Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. You know, brethren and sisters, in the early days of the church, God called men to do special tasks. Among them were the apostles. The word apostle means one who is sent with a commission. When on earth the Lord Jesus had many disciples, and from those disciples he selected 12 apostles. But you know, brothers and sisters, in our own day, God is calling men and women to be witnesses for him. Some he's calling to the mission field. Some men he is calling to the ministry. But you know, brothers and sisters, God has called you and me to be witnesses for him. God has called you to be a witness for him to your family. God has called you to be a witness for him to your neighbours. Could I ask you a question this morning? Does your neighbours know that you're a believer? Does your neighbours know that you love the Saviour? Does your neighbours know that you have witnessed to him? The Lord Jesus tells us in this verse, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea." You know, we have to be witness for the Lord in our own place. We've also to be witnesses in the place where we work. Or we have to be witnesses in the school we attend. We have to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in the college that we attend. And you know, we also have to be witnesses for the Savior as in the place where we worship. What is a witness? What do I mean by a witness? The dictionary tells us that one who bears testimony to an event. One who bears testimony to an event. I know, believer, today there was a day and hour that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You knew what it was to be born again. You knew what it was to have your sins forgiven. And you know what it was to be on the road to heaven. But you know, we need to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we're told in this verse that we are to be witnesses both to Judea and all Samaria. Very quickly this morning, I want to look at three things of how people can be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. How you can be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be a converted person. You must be a converted person. You know, friend, if you're in this meeting without Christ as your own and personal Savior, you can't be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ because you don't know what it is to have your sins forgiven. You don't know what it is to be washed in that precious blood. You can't share with other people. You can't be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be a converted person. You know, God has his true witnesses in this world. And the devil has his false witnesses. God has his true word of God. And the devil has a perversion completely different to the word of God. My friend, this morning, to be a witness, a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be a converted person. There were two elderly people in East Belfast sitting one night, and the lady was looking into the fire, and her husband noticed her looking into the fire, and he said to her, "Dear, what's wrong?" And she said, you know, I've been sitting here thinking of my days at Sunday school. And she says, I'm coming near 80 years of age. And she says, you know, my Sunday school teacher told me that I needed to accept Christ as my Saviour to get into heaven. And she says, I don't know how to do it. Her husband turned around and says to her, dear, I've been thinking of the same thing for days. And he says, what we'll do, it was a Saturday night, he says, what we'll do, we'll go to the local church on the Newton Arch Road on this Sunday morning. So the two people got ready, went to the church, sat through the service, they came out to the door. The husband said to the wife, well, dear, have you learned anything? And she says, no, I haven't. I haven't heard a thing. The man said, you know, I've heard of one of Paisley's churches up at Sandown Road, and I think you call the man McElveen. Well, go up and hear him preach. So the man and woman went up that night to the Reverend David McElveen's church in Sandown Road. And you know, to cut the story short, Mr. McElveen had the joy of pointing them to the Saviour. Brothers and sisters, what was the difference? They went to a church on Sunday morning. They went into that church, but yet they came out not knowing how they could be saved. But then they went to another church at night, and there they found how to meet the Saviour. The difference was that the man in the morning knew nothing about salvation. The man standing behind the pulpit didn't even know in his own heart what it was to be born again. But what a difference when that man and woman went up to the Sandown Road. And there in the pulpit was a man who had experienced salvation. A man who was a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who was able to point them to the Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world. Oh, you need to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. You know, when Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, who would have thought that Paul would have been a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Scriptures tells us that the coats were laid at his feet when they were stoning Stephen. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts 9:1 that Saul went threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. But you know what a change on that road to Damascus when he became a converted person. What a change it was in Saul's life when he became a converted person. You know, he witnessed against the church, but he then became a witness to the church. What a difference. The reason why is because he was a converted person. Men and women today, if you want to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be a converted person. But you know, secondly, you need to be a concerned person. You need to have a concern for lost souls of men and women that you come into contact with. You know, if the signs show us that Christ coming again is very near, we need to have a concern. We need to have a love for our loved ones. We need to have a concern for our friends. We need to have a concern and witness for them and pray for them. You say to me this morning, yes, I have a concern for my loved ones, but I find it very hard to speak to them. Friend, what you could do is take the pen and write a little letter to them. And tell them about your salvation, how you met the Lord, how you came to know the Lord as Saviour. I'm about to move from where I live. And I was saying one day to Dr. Paisley, I've already have witnessed to my neighbours, but I said, down where I live, there's only about four or five of us. And I said, Dr. Paisley, you know, I have a desire again to witness to these people. And I want to go and witness before I leave. And he said to me, Tommy, you do some singing. He says, why not give your testimony on a tape and sing? And you know, I said, that's good, and I've done that. And you know, one of those men came to me, an ungodly man, And he said to me, I was listening to you singing and I was listening to you speaking. That's the way he put it. But you know, was I glad that I'd done that? Because I came out of our prayer meeting a couple of weeks back and my wife told me that that man fell down the stairs and broke his neck and was into eternity. My friend, if you have a concern for your loved ones, if you have a concern for your friends and your neighbours, we need to witness to them. It just comes to my memory, a story Dr. Paisley told us about a little boy in Portavogie. Many years ago, Dr. Paisley had a mission in Portavogie. And this little boy, 7 years of age, got saved. And he went running home to his mommy, and he knocked the door, and he says, Mommy, Mommy, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Mommy, I'm in the inside. On which side are you? And he says, Mommy, tonight, Dr. Paisley, round in the wee church, led me to the Lord. And the mum said to her son, that's great. But you know, friend, that was like a dagger to the mother's heart. And the wee boy said to his mother, Mommy, where's Daddy? I want to speak to Daddy. I want to tell Daddy about coming to know the Lord Jesus. And she says, son, your daddy will be in very late tonight. She says, you can see him in the morning and you can tell him in the morning. So the wee boy went up to his bed, and about 12 midnight, the dad came home. And the mother said, you know, John, our little boy was round at the Paisley Mission in the Portavogie Church. And he's come home and he's told me that he's become a Christian. And you know, he wanted to speak to you, John. But you know, I sent him to bed and I'm sure he's fast asleep. But the wee boy shouted, no, I'm not asleep at all. Daddy, come up to tell you. And the daddy went up to the wee boy. And the wee boy said, Daddy, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Daddy, I'm in the inside. On which side are you? That little boy heard that quoted by Dr. Paisley. And he couldn't wait to get home to witness to his mum and dad to tell them that one door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I'm in the inside. On which side are you? Brothers and sisters, that was like a dagger also into that man's heart. And mum and dad went down the stairs, and dad looked at mum and said, our son's got something. Our son's got something that we don't have. And you know, there in front of that fire, both of them gave their heart to the Lord. Just because a wee boy had a concern for his mom and dad. Dr. Paisley tells the story. It was tremendous to see mom and dad and the wee boy sitting in the mission, beaming. I was down in Portavogie a number of weeks back. And there's that little, he's no longer a little boy. He's a big boy. And there are the parents, and they're all still going on with the Lord. Just because a little boy had a concern for his mom and dad. Brothers and sisters, have we a concern for our loved ones? Can I ask you a question that I asked myself as I was preparing this message? When's the last time you shed a tear for your loved ones? You know, your loved ones are another Lord's Day closer to a Christless eternity. And you know, we need to be up and doing. We need to warn them. We need to have a concern. You know, I thought of Noah. And Noah was told to build that ark. He was told to build it, and it was miles away from the sea. And I could imagine those people coming up to Noah and saying, you old fool, you, why are you building an ark here? Why are you not down near the sea? But you know, Noah had a concern for the people. And I believe that he spoke to the people and he warned the people that was coming. But you know, they didn't take any heed to him. My friend, he had a concern for the people. You know, we need to have that concern. We need to cry unto the Lord. We need to ask the Lord to work in our families. Oh, we need to be a converted person. We need to be a concerned person. But thirdly, we need to be a consecrated person. We need to be a consecrated person. Paul in Romans 12:12 exhorts us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why should we present our bodies? Because it is acceptable unto God. I lifted a book a number of years ago. Now, I'm not a great book reader, but this particular book, I couldn't put it down. It was a book on Praying Hyde. And Praying Hyde went out to do a tremendous work. And he asked the Lord that he would have many souls in his net every day. And Praying Hyde, through his whole ministry, had many, many souls. But you know, it came the day of his death. As he was lying in his bed, he said to his servants, "Get me out under the tree." And Praying Hyde, with all his weakness and all his sickness, he was on his deathbed. And he was still witnessing for God. He still had that concern for people. He was a consecrated man. He wanted to serve the Lord. Even on his very deathbed, he wanted to serve the Lord. And there under that tree, one by one, he led people to the Lord. Until the 10th person came along. And after he had led that person to the Lord, he went home to be with the Lord. What a man he was. You know, Proverbs 14 and 25 tells us, "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." You know, I would love to pin that up every apostate church, that a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. I remember the famous Willie Mullen saying that in some churches, you know, the people will be chasing after their minister who led them into a Christless eternity. My friend, a true witness delivers souls. You know, if you go out to witness for the Lord, you know, the blessing is that you don't go in your own power. Because we read in verse 1 in Acts, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you." You know, the disciples couldn't have done the work of the Lord without the Lord's anointing upon them. And also in Luke 49 it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." You say to me, I couldn't witness. I couldn't go and witness to people. But you know, the Bible tells us, the Lord says that you'll receive power to witness for him. Remember Dr. Paisley telling us the story about during the war, he went to have an open air in Barry. And there was a man there, who Teddy Sheringham, who was a famous boxer. And Teddy Sheringham, he would get up and he would speak at the open air first. But he was a man who couldn't control his voice. And after a while, he had lost his voice. And he would say to Dr. Paisley, "Get you in and preach, Paisley." And in those days, there were a lot of army and navy people. It was during the World War. And this girl, who was in a WAC uniform, she said to Dr. Paisley, who was there, "Prove that there's a Lord Jesus Christ. You prove that there's a Lord Jesus Christ." And of course, all the crowd was backing her and getting on with it. And you know, he said that he just shot a prayer to heaven, "Lord, help me." And he said, just like that, the answer came to him. And he says, "Dear, people from Northern Ireland answer questions with questions." He says, "I'm going to ask you a question. What day is this?" And she said, "It was Sunday." "What month was this?" "It's July." "What year is it?" 1940, whatever it was. Then the crowd sort of got to know what he was on to. And the Lord, and Dr. Paisley said there, "How did you get that? Every time you look at a calendar, you see that there is a Jesus Christ. AD, 1948 AD. And he was saying after that, the crowd, He had a tremendous time of preaching the word. To listen to him. We had a church opened in Wales. And a man approached him. And he said, he told him that story. And he says, "Dr. Paisley, I was in that crowd. And he says, I want to tell you. I have wanted to meet you for years, and I just want to tell you, after that meeting, I went home and gave my heart to the Lord. And I just want to tell you that. Friend, just a witness for the Lord, and a God's servant was able to see a soul's won for him. Oh, friend, today we need to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I lifted a little book, and with this I'll close, the other day, and it told a story about a little boy right in the centre of London. And that little boy was a very poor young fella, came from a very poor home. His mum and dad were killed in a serious accident, and he went to live with his aunt, and his aunt had very poor lodgings as well. The little boy used to go into the gospel meetings. They had a lovely big wooden fire, and he would get up close to that fire and he would listen to the preaching. And through that preaching, the little boy came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Saviour. But you know, as the years went by, that little boy took a really bad disease, and he had to be in his bed all day long. And you know, as he was up in his bedroom, his aunt, he had to get him milk. He had to have milk, whatever the disease it was, he must take this milk. And you know, he said to his aunt, you know, I would love to meet one of the men from the hall. And one of the men from the hall came up and they said to the little boy, what would you love most of all? And he said, sir, I would love a Bible. So that man went down and got a Bible, and he brought up to the Bible up to the young fella. And he said, son, why did you want a Bible more than anything? He says, sir, I want to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, but how can you be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ here lying on your bed? And he showed him a little notebook and a pencil. And he says, sir, see that little window? I can push that window open, and I write out verses, and I throw them in, and they fall into the streets in London. And he says, then I pray that people will pick them up. So the little boy said, I needed my Bible, because I was running out of verses that I forgot. But this day, the young boy was running out of paper and running out of pencils. And he called his aunt up, and he says, aunt, I need more. And she says, son, I can't do it. I can't afford it. The little boy says, well, don't get me any more milk. He says, get me the pencil and the paper. The little boy sat and he wrote. And one day this minister, this preacher was coming, walking through London. And this preacher was having trouble in his life. He was having trouble in many a way. And he was really, really down. And as he walked along, this little leaflet just hit him in the head. And it said, John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And that was like a dagger to that preacher. And that preacher went back to his church, and he got right with the Lord. And that man won many, many souls for the Lord. Eventually, the minister found out where this came from, and he walked along and he came to the house where the little boy was. And he went and he spoke to the aunt. And he said, the aunt said, yes, this is the house. She says, but my nephew who died about 2 months ago. And she says, but I have his Bible here if you'd like to read it. And the minister said, yes, I'd like to read it. And the verse that was marked on the Bible was Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And initialed really heavy was, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And he turned to the front of the book, and the little boy said, I want to be a witness for the Lord. My friend, today, will you be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Believer, will you witness for your Savior this day? Will you tell people of your salvation? Friend, in the meeting without Christ, you can't witness because you know nothing of God's salvation. You know, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you want to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, you need to be a converted person. Secondly, you need to be a concerned person. And thirdly, you need to be a consecrated person. I pray that the Lord will bless this word to all our hearts. And in this evil day, we'll be up and doing, going out to work for our Savior. I wonder, could we turn in closing to the hymn 526.